Exodus chapter 2 this morning. If you have your Bible, turn there. I encourage you always bring your Bible to church. If you don't bring it anywhere else, bring it to church. I see a lot of people, they leave their Bible in the car all the time so they don't forget to bring it to church. But anyway, Exodus 2, but we'll have it up on the screen as well. Make it easy. You know, behind every man is a great mother. Would you agree to that this morning, gents? Someone imagined the mothers of these well-known sons making the following comments. Mrs. Morse, for instance, "Sam, stop tapping your fingers on the table. It's driving me crazy." You know who Samuel Morse is, don't you? Mrs. Lindbergh, "Charles, can't you do anything by yourself?" You recall he flew across the ocean by himself later. Mrs. Washington, "George never did have a head for money." Mrs. Armstrong, "Neil has no more business taking flying lessons than the man on the moon." If the mothers of these famous men did say those things, and I got it from a good source, the Reader's Digest, that's a good source, is it not? Usually is. If they really did say those things, then their mothers would have been prophets, would they not? Among their other list of talents. During the time of the passage that we're about to look at, the Israelite people are in bondage as slaves to the Egyptian people. Pharaoh was fearful that the Israelites were going to grow in greater number than the Egyptians, so he decided to have all the male babies executed. As I'm sure that all of Israelite women did, Jochebed, Moses' mother, hid her newborn son as long as she could. And that picks up there in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him there 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds at the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister, Moses' sister, said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother." Behind every great man is his mother. Mothers probably have more influence on their children than anyone else. Would you not agree with that? There's often a close bond between a child and his mother that lasts a lifetime. I believe that with the passing of my parents. My dad passed in 2004, and I was very grieved over that, of course. But when my mother passed in 2008, there was something different about that. It felt different because this close bond that a child has with his or her mother. My mother influenced me. And I often credit her with leading me to Christ, and then later a call of God on into my life to ministry. One of life's greatest blessings is to have a godly mother. Amen. This morning I want us to consider Jochebed. It starts with a J, but it's got a yach to it. Jochebed, the godly mother of Moses. She was an Israelite woman. She was a member of the tribe of Levi, whom God would use as his priest in the temple. But this time, Jochebed and her people, the Israelites, were in bondage in Egypt. They were under ruthless slavery. The Egyptians worked them without mercy out in the hot sun, making bricks, making mortar. Very cruelly treated were God's people under Egyptian bondage. Pharaoh hated the people of Israel, and he started to grow nervous, as I said earlier, that they were going to outnumber the Egyptians and take over. And so he ordered the male babies to be done away with. Sounds very cruel and barbaric to us, does it not? If the Israelites disobeyed Pharaoh, it would cost them their life. But that threat did not matter to Moses' mother, Jochebed. She refused to consider her own life, her own comfort, her own convenience, and her own safety, and she refused to bow down to the Pharaoh's demands. She knew that it was up to her if her baby was going to be saved. And I think if you value your own life, you won't stand between a mother and her child, will you? I'm not sure if Jochebed had any way of knowing what God had planned for Moses, but for that moment, she feared God more than she did Pharaoh, and she was going to try to protect Moses' life no matter what. She knew it was the right thing to do to save Moses. And because she saved Moses, one day God would use Moses to save the entire nation of Israel. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 says that we should obey God rather than men. Obey God rather than men. Jochebed, being the God-fearing woman that she was, made the right choice to obey God rather than men. But oftentimes the right choice is not the easiest choice, is it? Sometimes the right choice, the right thing to do, is the hardest thing to do. Because for Jochebed to save Moses, she had to give him up. She hid him as long as she could, and the Bible said that when she could hide him no longer, she made a basket, waterproofed it, and put Moses in it, and set the basket with the baby in it into the river. That was a hard thing to do, was it not? Can you imagine that? How hard would that be? But she knew if she didn't do something, that it wasn't long before Pharaoh's wish would be carried out in Moses' life as well. What a sacrifice. I want you to notice something here that you may not have thought about before, and you probably haven't unless you're a Hebrew scholar or something. I'm not a Hebrew scholar either. As I heard a preacher say one time, he says he knows a little Hebrew and a little Greek. The little Hebrew runs the dry cleaners down the street, and the little Greek owned the restaurant down the street. And they were both small, so that's how much he knew. That's about like me. I know a little bit. But the word basket in our text comes from the Hebrew word called tebah. Tebah appears two times in the Bible. Once it's for the basket that Moses is placed in, and the other time is when Noah built the ark, and it's used to refer to the ark. Both of them had saving features, do they not? Jochebed built a little boat to save Moses, who would deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. Noah built a big boat, right? The big boat. He would save his family and the wildlife and everything, you know the story. But that's interesting. Both of these times it's used in the Bible, it was about saving people. Saving. So just as God's hand was on Noah, a deliverer, bringing salvation, it was with the deliverer of his people, Moses. Mothers go to great lengths to see that their children are saved. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Jochebed was a woman of faith. She believed God. She believed God would spare the life of her baby as long as she was obedient to Him. She placed Moses in the basket, not even sure if she would see him again or not, so his life would be spared. Only because she trusted the Lord could she abandon her son rather than to see him be killed. She believed God would take care of him. Isaiah 7:9 says, "If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you'll not stand at all." Faith in God is what makes us strong, isn't it? Faith in God is what makes us strong. It's not something that weak folks do. The strongest people have strong faith. Because if you don't stand firm in your faith, then you have no faith at all. You will not stand at all. Jochebed had strong faith in God. God would work in what looked like an impossible situation. We want God to work in our lives and our families, and we've got to place our faith in Him. We've got to keep our faith in Him. We must put our faith in action. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who seek Him." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God, and you have to have faith, right? You don't always see. You don't have to see in order to have faith. If you could see, you wouldn't need faith, right? But if you want to please God, then you'll have faith. The faith of Jochebed brought great rewards to her and Moses. We read in our text today where Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river to bathe. She sees the basket floating there. She tells her servant to go down and get the basket. When she opened the basket, she saw the baby and had compassion on him. Through God's providence, Moses, Miriam, and now check this out how this works. Miriam, Moses' sister, she's back here in the background and she's watching this whole thing play out. She's watching where Moses' mother placed the basket with her baby brother in there. She's off here to the side, watching what happens. Here comes Pharaoh's daughter. And then the Pharaoh's servant's daughter takes the basket out, sees the baby, has compassion on the baby, which is a God thing as well. And at that moment, I mean, this is Pharaoh's daughter. She should know what her dad had already commanded to happen to every male child. But isn't it something, isn't it just like God to use Moses' sister to get baby Moses back to his mother? Isn't that amazing? And that's what happened. Miriam went, summoned Jochebed, Moses' mother, to take care of her own baby. Jochebed had unwavering faith in God. God honored that faith by not only protecting Moses when she gave him up, but returned him to her. He went back to his natural mother because of the faith this lady had, and to start with, in knowing that if she trusted God, if she had faith in God and placed that baby there, that it was going to work out. That is strong faith. And God always rewards obedient faith. He always does. The measure of our faith is demonstrated by how well we obey God. Jochebed was a godly mother who laid the foundation for Moses during those formative years. She was the chief influence that God used to prepare Moses for the calling that God had on his life to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. As a mother, it's important that you guide your children to do the right things, right? Very, very important, the influence that you have on the lives of your children. they may depart from it for a time. I know my kids did. Seems like you raise them up sometimes the best that you know how when they're a child, and then sometimes when they get a little older, they depart from it. But if you have been the influence that they needed as a child, I've seen them where they always come back later. That's exactly what happened with my daughter, for instance. We brought her up in the church. I mean, she was a PK, preacher's kid. She was the PK. And then when she got to be a teenager, just like her dad did when he was a teenager, drifted off to the side, doing things that Christian teenagers should not do. But now she's back in. She came around the circle in her 20s. She's back in church. She has a family of her own. And she's got 4 daughters. Yes. But Jochebed's love, faith, and courage in saving her child from death by living a godly life of faith before him, no doubt had a profound influence on Moses' life. You have more influence on your children's life than you realize. Isn't that true? Than you ever realize. The evidence with in Moses' case is in Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, which is God. In other words, Jochebed let go and let God. Sometimes you got to let go and let God, right? You got to let him have it. Just as God provided for Jochebed when she placed her trust in him, so will he provide for us also as we trust him. So my question for you today, are you trusting God? Are you trusting God when life is difficult and sometimes it feels overwhelming and impossible? Are you trusting God when your back's against the wall and you don't know where to turn? Don't act like you hadn't been there before, because you have, right? Hard decisions to make, tough things to figure out. God can help you figure those things out. He really can. Jochebed, for her, she had a tough decision to make. She would either place baby Moses in that basket on the river, or she would watch Pharaoh's men come and get him. Her faith that God would take care of Moses was greater than any fear that she had of Pharaoh. She knew God was going to work things out. Sometimes when we don't know what to do, we just have to back up and just trust that God's going to work things out, right? Amen. And so are you letting go and letting God today? That's kind of a worn-out phrase that's been used for years, but it's still so true, is it not? Bigger question is, do you know him at all? Because, see, you have to have, in order for that to work in your life, you have to have Jesus in your life. You have to place your faith and trust in Jesus as Savior in order for you to have the kind of faith that I'm talking about this morning, the kind of faith that will help you through the difficult situations, the kind of faith that a mother has to have in raising kids. Because there's a lot of times when you have nothing more to do, whether it's your kids or your grandkids, than to trust God with that, right? You have to trust him. And I think sometimes, I feel like, with the grandkids, you feel like you really can't do anything about it. You don't want to intrude because they're your grandkids. They're not really your kids. They're once removed. And so it's even more difficult sometimes. Your function and my function as grandparents, we need to pray, don't we? We need to always pray and lift up our grandkids. Place our faith in God. Place our faith in Christ as Savior. He gives us the faith, the strength that we need for the other things. Amen? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I pray over each lady here today, Lord. There's ladies here, no doubt, that are going through difficult times. Help them, Lord, to know the faith that I'm talking about this morning. The faith that they can have in you. We know that that faith doesn't make life perfect. Because as long as we live on a sinful earth, we're not going to be perfect. But we can be better. And Lord, I pray today that you'd show us how increasing our faith and trust in you will make things so much better. So Lord, I pray that over each lady that's here today and their families. We're so grateful, Father, for those who have come today, guests of those who attend our church, Lord. We pray that you would work mightily and graciously in their lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen.